She stooped down and looked into the tomb. She saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been laid. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things to her.
Amen. Let's take our hymnals today. You can remain seated. Let's go to page 127. This old Christmas song. Let's sing verses 4 and 5. Listening to the services of the First Baptist Church of Petoskey. So glad to have you with us today. Nels, come and share with us.
In case you're wondering, I am Nels, or I am Duke, whichever you please, and anytime you want me to be, I can be either. My real name is Nels. Some of you don't know that. I want to talk to you about just how much does God want our fellowship. I've got the best news ever heard, ever, and I'll tell it to you in about 5 minutes. First, you have to listen to this. I'm tight with money. I really am. Ask my wife. She's nodding. It's hard for me to spend money. I can blame it on my mom. Because when I was a kid, I got my first paycheck, $40, for a whole week. And I got home and I said, "Mom, I don't know what to do with this. I'm a 13-year-old kid. What do I do with all this money?" And she says, it was like the voice of God, "Put it in the bank." That's where it all started. Actually, it's a good habit because I have learned through life that emergencies come. And they have a way of sucking away that money, as I see a lot of heads nodding. So that's kind of my makeup. But there are a couple things I could be extravagant with. One of them, Diana and I have 3 kids in Michigan and 3 in the West. One of them, I squirrel away money all year long so that I can take a trip out west to visit the kids that are in the west. And I don't mind spending money to do that. In fact, I deeply desire to do that. It's an extravagant thing for me that I do it. And I value that time with the kids. Now here's the point. Jesus, likewise, does not resent the sufferings that he endured on the cross for us. He values our companionship that much. That's extravagant love. This immense love of God changes everything in our lives. In reading God's word, we discover evidence of his love. We discover that we are treasured by God, that we're strong when we're feeling weak, that our companionship is desired by God, that God will never shackle us with anything that is heavy or ill-fitting, that when chaos and calamity call on us, we can breathe and rest in his promises, that we cannot be held hostage by sin, that when even death calls, knocking on our door, things only get infinitely better for us. That our fears can't stand a chance when we're bathed in Christ's loving resurrection power. That's how much he loves us. Contrast that with John 10:10. The thief, that's Satan, does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I, God, have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Now, who doesn't want that? Abundant life. Satan wants to steal life. He wants to suck it right out of us. He knows that sin has two sons, sorrow and death. But God promises, he promises us a life of abundance. He died and he rose so that we may die also to our own sin and rise from it. Friendship with God dramatically changes our view. We no longer see God as a giant hammer ready to hit us over the head. We no longer view God as a fist of anger. Instead, we see him as a source of joy, unquenchable joy. It just doesn't stop. We also see him as a great source of safety in our lives, no matter what happens. This relationship can never be found in anyone or anything else here on earth. We can only find it in our Savior. Nothing else is going to satisfy. The ancients, they used to make gods of wood, stone, and sometimes bronze, and they gave them names like Bel, Zeus, Apollo. It goes on and on. There's thousands of these ancient gods. But they never felt the love that we feel. In fact, they feared their gods, and they were always trying to pacify them in some way. Our God isn't like that at all. There is no meaning to life apart from our God. There is nothing worthwhile apart from serving our God. Everything else proves meaningless. If we look at Matthew 28:6, the angel is waiting and the two women arrive. And he says, he, meaning Jesus, is not here. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. When you see that word Lord, it jumps off the scriptures and it comes right into your heart, because when you become a believer, you make God the Lord of your life. You have a greater intimacy than any two people could ever experience on earth. We get to be loved by the God of the universe, the designer of our lives, the one who understands our heart better than we do ourselves. Think about it. Adam and Eve walked and communed with God, and then sin interrupted them. Enoch walked and shared his heart with God. The two men on the Emmaus Road, they burned within as they walked unwittingly with Jesus. They burned within their hearts, the deepness of Jesus' heart calling to their deepest hearts. So many won't read God's love letter to us, Bible. Many won't pray, converse with God, Some won't reason on God's word. In Isaiah it says, come, let us reason. Say it. I want a practical thing. That's why I love church. I love learning, fellowship, and hanging with other Christians. It expands what I hear at church. This is an opportunity that we shouldn't miss. We grow day by day, reading, fellowshipping, and then sharing with other people who are seeking more, who are seeking happiness and fulfillment in life. It's not a fast thing. We become Christians, and then it's a slow build. This walk with Christ takes time, and it takes effort on our parts. But day by day, we plod along, and God promises to be there with us. Some of you have heard of C.S. Lewis. He was an atheist, turned a Christian. He was also a great writer. Well, he wrote about this, a little piece he called The Tin Soldier. The real Son of God is at your side. He's beginning to turn you into the same kind of thing as himself. He is beginning, so to speak, to inject his kind of life and thought into you, the tin soldier, into a live man or woman. And the part of you that does not like it is the part that is still tin. So, now we're back to the beginning. That's it. The best news you've ever heard is that our hard, cold, tin hearts can be turned into, are you ready? Vibrant, sweet, amazingly useful, productive, loving, everlasting hearts in God's hands. And we can and will be used for God's greatness. Now that's satisfaction. That's fellowship. Amen.